Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, howdy, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 12th, 2012, episode 379. Good morning, horse people.
Good morning!
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Well, good morning, everybody. Well, the Sally horse van just left the property. They pulled in about 10 minutes before the show was to start. Our producer, Coach Jen, is now out with our horse speaker, getting him settled into his new home here in Florida. And they said, I got to tell you this, Jamie, the driver of the Sally horse van, and Sally is a big company that hauls a lot of the race horses around this country, and they also haul regular horses like ours. And he said, oh, it was such a joy to have a quarter horse on the trailer. They must get the real nut jobs.
Good old middle-aged quarter horse speaker. And then you've got, you know, he's probably hauling yearlings and all sorts of, you know, crazy unbroke horses all over the place. I bet he was a nice change of pace.
Yeah, they said, you know, everybody else is carrying on. And, you know, and Beaker had to get on a small trailer at the farm up there and then go to the transfer station and get on the tractor trailer and then get off the tractor trailer this morning and go to the transfer station and get on a small trailer again to come out here. And he said he was the easiest one all day. So.
You know, when I had my warm blood shipped out here, you know, he's such a big, like, laid-back guy. And they actually said to me, too, wow, it was a pleasure shipping your horse. I'm like, yep, that's because it's not a crazy yearling thoroughbred. But,
right.
You know, we'll take the compliments when we can. as valuable.
And I imagine they're hauling some two-year-olds in training because the two-year-old in training sale is going on right now at Keeneland. So they had some horses from that. By the way, that sale, the prices were about the same as last year, but out of 161 horses listed, they ended up selling 49.
Really?
Yeah, so it wasn't great as far as the number of horses sold.
Wow. Well, hopefully it'll perk back up. When I do my daily whinny, I'm going to tell you of a horse that maybe did do pretty well in a sale.
Okay. All right, good. Well, I'd go to Jennifer right now, but she's not here, so let me tell you what's coming up on today's show. We have a guest, and then we have another guest, and then
Let me do it. We're going to talk to Dottie Ewing, who is the Marketing and Equestrian Content Director for HRTV, and she's going to let us know about their new website. Then, I'm so excited, I tracked down the former policeman, well, he's a policeman still, who actually formerly owned our horse. Remember, I bought the horse, and we were told that he was a police
Jack
horse.
Jack Daniels, right?
Jack Daniels, exactly. And we were told he was a police horse, and we weren't quite sure. Well, I found somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody, and they got me in touch with Chad Howard, the officer who rode Jack Daniels. So I'm super excited to talk to him.
Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah, so I thought it'd be kind of interesting to hear a little bit about kind of what he's done and where he's been, those kinds of things. And, of course, then we're going to talk to Megan Blackburn from the Chronicle of the Horse about her trip to Iceland. So that's all coming up on the show today, and I think it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a good show. I feel like David Letterman. It's going to be a good show, people.
You know, we didn't use any big words, though. We should have used some big words because Jennifer always uses these really big words.
I know. That's why I stayed away from the big words. Just went pretty simple.
Because you know what? If you and I tried to use the big words, they would come out and all in the wrong context, and it would mean something completely different.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be bad.
That's as good as the big words. All right, I have a couple daily winnings. My first daily Winnie needs one of these. Well, happy birthday to host of the Western Radio Show, Jamie's favorite person in the whole world, Alan Moorhead. His birthday is today, 52 years old, and I say that because I'm going to be 50 in a couple of weeks, so I'm still behind him. He's still older than me. Just saying that for the benefit of, who was that yesterday that was comparing Alan and I? I forget her first name, but for your benefit, I'm still younger than Alan, just saying. You may have a better voice. And also Dawn Roll Bailey's birthday, who's a listener, a regular listener
Dawn
to the
Bailey.
Show. Here you go.
Happy birthday.
That's for you. That's for you, Dawn. All right, I have a second daily Winnie. This goes out to Ann Mabardi, and she wrote on our Facebook page yesterday, I made the mistake, and I think she's from Australia. I'm pretty sure she is. I made the mistake of letting hubby listen to the Horse Husbands episode that we did a couple weeks ago. Apart from laughing and muttering, yep, you do that over and over again, he has subsequently come up with a new term to describe our relationship. He thinks it's really funny that he has coined the phrases core activities, everything that's related to the horses, and supporting activities, everything we do together outside of horses, that apparently usually involves around them also. I like that.
I do too. We're doing the core activities today, honey. We're going to go for a ride, and then we'll do supporting activities later, which is go for a movie. I love that.
That's pretty good. I liked it, too. Well, thank you for commenting that on our Facebook page. By the way, you can go to Horses in the Morning. Just search for that on Facebook and become our friend.
My daily Winnie goes to the people at, I'm going to screw this up, at Gilgai Farms, and Rick Jameson. And the reason that they're getting my daily Winnie is because they were just the buyer of Black Caviar's half-sister who went on the auction block and just sold for $2.6 million in Australia. $2.6 million Australian dollars. Would you like to know how much that is in American dollars, Glenn? I guess not. So $2.6 million in Australian dollars is $2,675,820. So congratulations to them. So there are horses that are selling. You just have to be related to probably the greatest sprinter in Australian horse history. So congratulations to them. Apparently, the bidding was against the Japanese, who I guess just gave up right before they got to 2.6. And so they were the immediate underbidder, they say. And the Australian people are very happy that Black Caviar's sister is going to be staying in Australia.
$2.6 million. Woohoo!
That's the Australian dollars, though, Glenn. Because 2.6 Australian dollars is $2,675,820 in American. So we're pretty close to them in the Australian money and American money. So the trainer, the filly, will be trained by Danny O'Brien, although Peter Moody was mentioned, I guess, but he's not going to take back Black Caviar's sister.
All right, cool. Hey, did you see that that the Queen's granddaughter, Burkerarm, riding a horse, got thrown off her pony?
I did see that, and I also saw that she was wearing a helmet and body protector. Like, what
else?
Oh,
really?
Yeah, she's wearing helmet and body armor and fell off and broke her arm. Like, what? You can't bubble wrap a child, I guess, you know?
I know.
Keep them from every injury possible. Now, Glenn, yesterday we talked a little bit about the just because if I was a horse, I would never get in a trailer. It's a big black box, elevated off the ground, that moves and shakes. And I think that if I was a horse, you know, maybe I'd get in once. But I swear to you, I would never get in one of those loud, windy boxes ever again, because to me, the back of the trailer is like the scariest thing ever. So I wanted to ask our listeners whether they would ever get in a horse trailer if they were a horse. I was so surprised at the utmost honesty that people had. And some people actually said, yes, I might get in a trailer, but I definitely would not get in mine. Or Susan Nelson said, I won't get into an MRI. I definitely am not getting into a horse trailer. Cindy Roberts, of course, there were the people that were like, if my human was nice to me and I would get in because I would explore new adventures. Whatever. You would not get in a trailer twice. I love Michelle Anderson said, no way. I'm amazed every time my boys step right in. To me, it's like a death box on wheels. And we put our horses in these things. Unbelievable. I love Wendy Ying, the driving radio show, posted on this too. And she said, I would need a 6-horse, head-to-head or larger, fully padded, no slant loads, a full hay net, a fresh licket, apple stop every 3 hours, video cam, roof vents, no wind blowing directly on me, and I would need a female driver. I love it.
I did see, one of the things I saw in there, too, one of the posts that I'm not looking at right now, so I can't tell you who it was, they said that when she learned to drive, her father made her get in the back of the trailer, and he drove her around for a while so that she would appreciate what the horses have to go through. I think I need to add that to Horse Husband 101 class. If your horse husband's going to learn to drive the trailer, he has to respect that turns are a pain and, you know, you need to go slower and all that stuff. They need to ride in the back for a trip just to understand what it's like back there.
That is definitely what Chad needs. You know, he doesn't understand that you have to go slow. And I read that post, too, and what was great is that he drove the way she did. She drove it around, and then he made her get in the back, and he drove the way she did and to show her just how difficult it was back there. And I love that idea because, like I said, when Chad and I went on our last horse trial, the one that got snowed out, Chad drove there, and I was yelling at him. I'm like, slow, yeah. It was like mountains and turns. And he was like, I am going slow. We got my horse out of the trailer, and he was sweaty and shaky, okay? He was, and then I drove us on the way home, and we stopped and then looked at him, and he was happily munching hay. So I'm like, there is a big difference in driving like a girl and driving like a guy. And I think if more men would drive horse trailers like girls, we'd be all better.
Okay, yeah, I got to get defend Chad a little bit. I mean, he's a you know, fighter pilot. He's used to driving. He has to drive aggressively at work.
I understand that he drives aggressively at work, and he also owns an Audi, like this road-hugging European sports car. And I'm sorry. Turn that off. Turn it off, because you are driving a horse trailer right now, and there is a live animal in the back of it, at least one. And it's stressful for them. I did love Katie Livingood's post that says, my horses are afraid of breezes and growing grass. I never understand why they get in a horse trailer.
That's true when you think about it. That is true.
It's like, you're afraid of this, but you'll do that. Really? That's insane. That's insane. And Glenn, I don't know if we have time for it. Is Jennifer back yet? Because I've got it. I've got another. I need the listener's advice on a question. Okay, so maybe we'll get to that a little bit later. I'm going to tease it right now just by saying that I had the most bizarre horse situation happen to me yesterday. Something happened yesterday that in my 20s.
How can it be more bizarre than the bizarre things that have happened to you in the last year?
Okay. In my 25 years, how old am I? 27 years of owning horses. This has never happened to me before, ever. Ever. And I don't quite know what to do about it. And so I need some listeners' advice. And I think it's going to require a veterinary visit. It's going to cost me a lot of money. So we will talk about that at some point during today's show.
It looks like Jennifer's back, and she is giving a call to our first guest here. So we'll have our first guest here shortly. But I have to ask you, how did was it Jack Daniels that was doing the pacing in Love, or was it the other one?
No, it's Jack Daniels. And
okay,
I'm
so
going to ask Chad the
officer.
How did
that go yesterday?
Well, if you hear, I've got my door open right now to the back because it's really nice outside. And every once in a while, you may hear a whinny. It just hasn't stopped. I even switched their pastures. So I put him in her pasture and her out in his pasture, thinking that maybe it would help. But he's actually further away from my bedroom, so I didn't hear him screaming all night long. But I walked outside this morning to let the dogs out, and there he is. Crazy. So I don't know. It's not gone away. And I'm going to ask Officer Chad about that as well. How ironic is it that Chad is the name of the police officer?
I was thinking of that. I didn't want to say anything, but I thought that was kind of ironic.
I think it's awesome.
And you'll have to ask him if he likes Jack Daniels. What was his name when you got him?
Nickelback.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, yeah. You'll have to ask him if he likes Jack Daniels, because that'll tell you right there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
All right, let me go to our first.
He's probably going to be like, I would never, ever drink an alcoholic beverage. Yeah, right.
Nah, he's a policeman. He drinks alcoholic beverages. Guaranteed. Hey, let's go to our first guest. Beyond, my friend Dottie from HRTV. She's here to talk to us, and I was over checking it out, here to tell us all about their new website over there at HRTV. And Dottie, are you there? Jennifer, can you take her off of hold? I seem to be having trouble with that. So,
working on. There we go.
All right, Dottie, are you there?
I am here. I'll say good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for getting up so early to talk to us. Hey, you guys came out with a new website.
Well, we did. And I'll be happy to answer any questions. I can talk for days about it. But I will tell you that one of the reasons that we launched it, and we had a small video website, but we really had a wealth of material all about racing, because that's our legacy, and we have gotten more and more programming that was equestrian oriented, and we found that people couldn't just watch it on television. 24/7 wasn't enough for us to offer all this programming to our audience of all equestrian fans, and so expanding the website became a natural extension for us to serve the horse community. And as you may know, about a year and a half ago, we repositioned the network of HRTV to become the network for horse sports, based in racing, but now serving the entire audience. And what's interesting is our research showed that when you think about people who are interested in racing versus people who are interested in Western sports, as well as trail riding, and people who are interested in English, they're not siloed. People are interested in two of the three or three of the three, and the number of purists for just racing, just Western, and just English is really kind of small. So our network strategy on air to begin to cover equestrian programming really made a whole lot of sense for the wider horse audience. We also found that because we specialized at that time and still do in live racing is a daytime phenomenon. And that left us prime time as a good opportunity to serve our racing people as well as the rest of the horse audience with programming that was more related to general equestrian as opposed to just racing. And we've had some really good reception to that. And as we built this library, and it became apparent that we had a real asset here that we could offer up to people who would like to watch equestrian programming or catch up on racing news and things like that after hours. So
I was just looking at some of the content on here, too, and you guys have some great new programs. I'm seeing one called Unsung Hero, The Horse of the Civil War. You have a section called Horse Flicks. Tell me about that.
Oh, Horse Flicks is great programming. I am really happy we have that. Jonathan May and his partner have produced many, many episodes, and they're breed-specific. And his photography is beautiful cinematography, and you know you will see Frisians running through fields and Gypsy Vanners rearing up, and It is the story of various breeds, and we're really proud to have that. You can, you know, it tells people, the Ocotecis, for instance, there's the show about them, and it's just, they're beautiful explanations of different horse breeds. And, you know, we do one a week, but on the website you can catch up with all that have aired so far, and that library will grow. We migrate programming. Once it's aired on the TV network, we migrate it and then place it in the library online.
And is that free for people to go watch then?
You know what? There is a certain amount of programming for free. We do some things called the works. Works are daily workouts for race fans if they want to see how their favorite horse looked this morning as he worked out. We also open up the first episode for any of our series so people can get a taste of what they might get if they subscribe. But there is quite a bit more programming, including the daily live stream of HRTV that is available for our subscribers.
What's that run? Do you know?
Yes, of course. Of course, I know that. It's my job. The monthly rate is $9.99. If people want to subscribe for 6 months, there's a break. It's $49.99, and if they take an annual subscription, which we do find a lot of our people do, the price is $89.99. So there are discounts available for longer term subscriptions. And Glenn, if you don't mind, I have an offer for your viewers too, if they care. You know,
we like offers.
You like offers? Okay. Viewers of Horse Radio Network, if they subscribe, their first month will be free. What they have to do is enter a code. And when they sign in, there will be a place to enter a code. And if they enter HRN12, then they will be able to have a free month of HRTV.com. And they won't be billed until the second month.
HRN12, because I don't want to do that.
HRN12.
All right. Well, so basically 13 months for the price of 12. And I just did the math because I have a calculator on my iPhone. I didn't do the math myself. That is $6.92 a month. That's nothing. That's so much cheaper than what I pay for my crappy cable company, which, like, all it has on it is infomercials. So I think I might have to sign up there.
I think I like your attitude.
Yeah, it's like all horse programming for like $6.92 a month. If I could add that, you know, just to add one channel of HBO is like $20.
Oh, I know. I mean, it really is a value, you know, because we serve a wide-ranging audience, but it's a deep library now. I mean, there's going to be 1,000 videos before you know it. We have over 850 right now. There's going to be 1,000 videos because we're adding things daily. But, you know, when you subscribe, not only can you see what you would see on television for HRTV, the TV channel, which includes live racing during the day and on racing days, but also you have access to this incredible library of programming on a 24/7 basis. So, I mean, it's a real value. I mean, we look at it and say, wow, we just got to get the word out. So thank you for your help on this.
You know what? I think in another 5 years, get off topic here a little bit, in another 5 years, on-demand programming is going to be, you won't be watching TV as we watch it today. You'll be watching exactly what you want, when you want, and you won't have to wait for it to come on at 8 o'clock tonight.
Well, you're absolutely right, and also, if you think about it, and the places where you can watch it. I mean, right now we've programmed this website too, so you can watch it on any mobile devices. Just pull it up. You don't even need an app or anything. So people will. You're absolutely right, Glenn. And people will be watching wherever they are and whenever they want.
Right. Exactly. And exactly what you want. Well, this is very nice. It's very good. HRTV.com. If you go sign up, you'll get a free month for just being a listener to our show. It's HRN12 is the promo code when you sign up. Thank you so much, Dottie, for joining us.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thank you. Take care.
Thanks, Dottie.
Awesome. Well, there you go. Now I got to go sign up.
I love HRTV. I really do. I'm so glad they expanded their programming. I mean, I love the racing portion of it, but just she's so right to, like, take the whole equestrian market. It really appeals to so many more people, and I do feel like, you know, racing is at the heart of many horse sports, and even non-horse sports, because, like, the Kentucky Derby. Think about how many people watch horse racing on that day that would never watch horse racing ever. So
right.
I think that, you know, at the center of of the horse industry, you still have this exciting couple, you know, days a year. The Breeders' Cup is so exciting. It's on NBC, for crying out loud. So I love the fact that they've expanded the programming and incorporated all of it. $6.09 a month. That's awesome. I'm going to do it.
There you go. Hey, Jennifer, are you back here? Can you give us a Beaker report as he's settling in?
The Beaker play-by-play. Beaker is checking out the perimeter of his new accommodations, whinnying regularly to the next-door neighbors who are being very polite and whinnying back. We've had a good roll in the dirt. Scratch
sand.
On the tree.
We don't have dirt. Sand. We have lots of sand.
Sand. Well, he picked the dirtiest spot he could find between two trees. and a little sip from the water barrel. So we're doing good.
Oh, good. So he hasn't crashed through the fence and isn't three blocks away at this point.
No, our next-door neighbors, Tom and Mona, came over to say hello to him, and he trotted around a little bit and showed off for his new neighbors. Nope, there he goes. He's having a little gallop now. Woo-hoo!
Jennifer's studio looks out over the paddock, so she could be able to watch her horse every day. No distraction there. I think we're going to be seeing guests called late every day, Jamie. We're going to have to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, Jennifer's like, what?
Who?
I don't hear you. Huh? What show? I love it. Well, that's great, Jennifer. I'm excited for you. And it's just going to be nice to have your boy in the backyard. And I know it creates a heck of a lot more work, but in the end, it's so much, to me, it is so much better than boarding. Now, if you were to ask my friend, one of my good friends here, Teresa, she would not have a horse in her yard for nothing. She doesn't want to do the work. She wants to go and ride the horse, and she wants to go home. It takes all kinds, I guess. But I love having the horses in the yard, and
it's been since 2001 that we've had horses in the yard. We've boarded ever since then, so it's been 10, 11 years now since we've had the. And you know what was interesting? I was talking to Helena yesterday. Is that we have never had the opportunity to just have one or two horses in the backyard. Back in 2001, we had a big stable. So we'd have 20 horses. We've always had, when we've had horses at home, it's been a lot of horses. So we've never had this opportunity to just have one or two in the backyard, and I think that's going to be a whole different experience.
Oh, man, it makes a big difference. Remember what we decided is that if you get more than six, it becomes a full-time job.
Yes, absolutely.
Six is that magic number, and I've got six right now, and it's so much better than seven. Even Chad's like, wow, seven was a heck of a lot more work. And then there was a brief time we had eight. I'm like, oh, I was just going crazy. So definitely six.
Nobody believes this because it doesn't make logical sense. That when you cross six and you hit seven, your work doubles.
It does.
And I know people say that doesn't make any sense. You try it. You have horses. You do it, and you're going to find out that that's so true.
Yeah, it really does. So when are you getting your horse?
I don't know. We'll have to keep my eye out. I'd really love to get something that I can ride or drive. So we're going to be looking for, I'm probably going to be looking to adopt a standard bred, you know, rescue one. And there are lots of them out there that do ride and drive. And there's a lot of them that are looking for homes right now. Wendy said that she would fix me up with a carriage and a harness and all that stuff. And I just want to be able to, if I want to go for a ride with Jennifer and the gang here in the neighborhood, or if I want to, you know, that we have 17 miles of roads here. That there's no traffic, so I can go out and drive to my heart's content. Matter of fact, I saw a carriage yesterday when I was coming in, driving through the neighborhood. So I just want to be able to do both. So I'm gonna wait and find the right horse for that.
Good. Sounds good. That's fantastic. I'm so excited. That is going to be so fun for you to just hop on and drive. Well, let me do the ad before we get to our next guest. Just to tell you about Holland Horse Tack. They are bringing to the U.S. and Canada a full line of horse protection wear by Indra. Indra, a name well known by European riders for 25 years, they're the creator of high-quality horse boots, leg wraps, and back pads for the equestrian athlete. And all Indra products are manufactured to the highest specifications with only the finest of materials, providing a sleek look, flexibility, protection, and support for the horse's legs and back. And when, as far as flexibility and support goes, the leg wraps, and I know I've mentioned these before, are my boot of choice for cross country. They wrap around twice, so they really protect the front of your horse's cannon bones as far as just protecting them from a little bit of, if they hit the jump. However, they're so flexible and they're so easy to put on, and they have interior Velcro, the Velcro stretchy. Check it out at hollandhorsetack.com and check out the leg wraps. That's what they're simply called, the leg wraps. And they're awesome. By far the best leg wrap boots things I've ever put on my horse. So there you go, hollandhorsetack.com. And our next guest is on the line, and I'm so excited to talk to Chad Howard, who is the former owner. Now, Chad, I got to let you know that we did change Nickelback's name because I couldn't have a horse named Nickelback because my husband hates the band. So his name is now Jack Daniels, and we welcome Chad Howard to the show. Good morning, Chad.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we are doing fantastic. Thank you for getting up so early. I know I do this every morning, and it is 6:30 our time, and you're probably cussing me, aren't you?
Oh, no. Actually, I have to be up anyway, so... This just gets me going in the morning.
Oh, good, good. So tell us, what is your title at the police department? Because you're still a policeman.
Right, yeah. Right now I'm just a patrol officer. I ride a beat now. Just Officer Howard.
Officer Howard. Okay, yeah. I'm going to call you that because okay, well, my husband's name is Chad, and I find that so funny that I've got, you know, that this horse went from you to another Chad. I think it's just great. Now, to give you a little history, we purchased a horse named Nick Nickelback from a woman down in Mesa, Arizona, which is about an hour from where I live right now. And the backstory was that this horse, they had bought from the police department when I guess they had a sheriff's department unit, a mounted police unit, but then they went away, and so the horses went back to their original owners, and she took the horse from the original owner who donated him to the police department. This at one point was all hearsay because I kind of had a hard time believing a lot of it because the horse was supposed to be in training, and it turns out it's been in a field for 2 years. And so this gelding, 17-hand gelding, had really not done anything for quite some time. And at this point, we're like, come on, this cannot be a police horse. He's been in a field doing nothing for 2 years. Well, I get in touch with somebody who lives down the street from somebody, and then my neighbor knew this guy, who knew this girl, who knew you. So I gave the name of the horse, and I said it was a horse named Nick, and my neighbor down the street tried to figure out who it was, and he called the police department because he's a retired officer, found you, and here you are. Tell me about my horse.
Well, I thought it was interesting because right before I got a hold of you or was contacted by you, I was contacted by another police officer who had another friend that was interested in Nickelback and apparently had seen him on the same ad that you were looking at or something and obviously didn't get him in time. So it was funny how he apparently was available for so long and then everybody wanted him at once. So, but anyway, what was the original question?
I just kind of tell me about him. So you, how long ago was he a police horse, and how did he do?
Well, he was a great, great police horse for the time we had him. Unfortunately, we weren't able to have him very long just because the detail went away for budgetary reasons shortly after we got him. But we found him on Craigslist. he was kind of a typical horse that we would try to be interested in because his size and although he was a thoroughbred, he had never raced before, so we were interested in that. But he had gotten in touch with the owner, and he was interested in donating him. And so we went out and actually rode him a couple times, and there was nothing spectacular about him, you know, physically or ride-wise. He just seemed to be a very calm horse, which on the police department, that's kind of the biggest attribute I think you can have for a police horse, is to be calm and collected and not be flighty or, you know, try to run around a lot. Mm-hmm. But so we brought him to the stalls and got him cleaned up and got him updated on his shots and his shoeing and started riding him. And it wasn't long before I had him downtown. I probably had him maybe 2 weeks before he was already riding downtown through the traffic in the on the sidewalks and city buses driving by, and he did exceptionally well with that. And from the time we got him in October until the beginning of January, he just accepted all the challenges that we put forward and even did some firearms training off of his back. And he was able to participate in the Fiesta Bowl in January of 2010 and actually made it out onto the field as part of the crowd control. So he had a lot of potential. And like I said, unfortunately, in April of 2010 is when the mounted detail got eliminated. And so that's when he went back to the original owner. And
It would just be so hard to believe if you hadn't sent me all these great pictures. And Glenn, I tried to send them to Jennifer. I'm going to resend them so we can put them on Facebook. But this horse is standing, and this is Chad's horse. Like, this is as cool and manly as it gets. His horse was in the end zone on the field at the Fiesta Bowl inside the stadium. And Chad's like, touchdown! It's so great. It was so exciting. And there was a video also that that Chad sent us, Officer Howard sent us, to keep it straight here, which was him standing in the street underneath the fireworks that were going off directly above him.
Yeah, that was downtown Phoenix. They used to do, they still do, at the Diamondbacks games, they do fireworks on Friday nights after the games. And that was his first, experience with the fireworks. And he was about one block from where they were launching the fireworks. So he was literally right underneath them when they were taken off. So he did really good with that too.
I love the fact that we can hear you talking just a little bit, and under the fireworks when they hand the camera back, you can quietly hear you say, yeah, he's a good guy. And I knew you were talking about the horse. I'm like, yes, yeah, he is a good guy.
Hey, Chad, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I used to, my office used to be in downtown in the city where there were mounted cops, and I loved when they would take off at a dead run through the traffic, chasing someone down, and they would grab them by the scruff of their back of their neck, like by the shirt, and basically pick them up off the ground. Have you ever done that?
Yeah, we've had a couple of instances like that. More often than not, if we're grabbing them, they're pretty much standing still, but and if we're actually chasing them, by the time we catch them, they generally fall on the ground, or I've had that a couple times. Ironically, you mentioned that because that was actually one of the last things that Nick was able to do was chase somebody through a crowd. I don't know how familiar you are with the Phoenix area, and they have the First Fridays. It's a big art festival that they do out on the street festival on the first Friday of every month. And one of the last things that Nick did was I was patrolling with another officer on horseback, and this young lady decided she wanted to come and slap one of the horses. So she slapped my partner's horse, which is a felony in Phoenix.
That's not allowed.
No, it's a, so we had to chase her through the crowd, and she thought she could easily wind her way through the crowd and avoid us, but she forgot that we were about 8 to 10 feet tall looking down over the crowd. So we were able to watch her and just kind of trotted and walked through the crowd and followed her, and she kept trying to squirrel away, and finally she decided to run down this alley that I chased her down, and unfortunately for her, we also carry radios, so there was two officers at the end of the alley that were more than happy to accommodate her when she got to the end of the
Woo-hoo!
Alley. So.
Nick saved the day!
So, yeah, Nick did great. He was calm, and like I said, he was, you know, that's the important thing. He was calm. He didn't get overexcited. Did exactly what I asked him to do and wasn't afraid to you know, walk through the crowd. And, of course, one of the things that we will do a lot of times in the crowds, too, is wear a whistle. So we can whistle and you know, get the crowd's attention as if a 1,200-pound horse isn't enough to get their attention. And that kind of thing. So we train with the whistles, and that kind of thing didn't affect him at all. He did really well. So, it would have been quite something to see him with 5 or 10 years of police experience, what he would have been capable of. So,
okay, so let's review here quick. So if Jamie's husband, while he's riding, if Jamie gets out of control and out of hand, he can just chase her down.
Yes.
Or shoot me.
Yes, he can.
Now, so do you guys ever ace the horses before they go out or anything like that?
No, that was that's always been a kind of a controversial issue. There are some departments, I guess, you know, across the country that do use that tactic, I guess. But our department, we chose training over medication.
Yeah.
So we never aced any of the horses, and we just tried to expose them to as much training as we could. And
well, I'm going to tell you that it's good you didn't ace him, because, my God, the horse is so needle shy that it would have taken more time to get ace into him than it would have just taken to train him, because we tried to do some acupuncture on him. And so is this something you remember about his history?
Yes, I do, because that was one of the things that the original owner, when he donated him, told us, you know, because we told him that he would be getting his shots and everything, and he warned us. He goes, "I got to warn you, he is doesn't like needles. He does not like the vet." And of course, you know, well, we're professionals. We can handle that, and you know, we have a very confident vet, and that won't be an issue. So we were we had him in the stalls when the vet came. And it was kind of a rodeo. It took us a little effort to finally get him his shots. But fortunately, our vet is very good with it. So after a little bit of effort, we were able to get it done. But
isn't it amazing how out in the field when you're doing your job as a policeman, you command respect, and that's, you know, your whole livelihood and your life depends on commanding respect. But when you're in the stall with the horse who doesn't like needles, he don't care who you are.
Exactly. Exactly.
My poor female vet walked up to him, you know, with her first acupuncture needle. We're going to acupuncture, make him feel better. And she pulls that sucker out. Like, she can't even get halfway to him before he's like, you're a doctor.
I think those vets have a particular smell that they know.
Yes. Yes. Now, question, did you ever take him and jump him over anything? Like crowd control, did you have to like clear him over some bleachers or something to go chase anybody?
The only thing that I ever jumped him up or down was that I can recall, and I know, and I think you might have some pictures of that. There's a new park downtown. And they have in the landscaping, they have some tiers of retaining walls, you know, kind of goes up about 18 inches and then it goes up another 18 inches, so kind of stair steps. And I had him going up and down those. So he was jumping up, you know, like an 18-inch, probably an 18-inch, maybe 2 feet retaining wall, and he would go up them and then he'd go down them. So he did a little bit of that, but I didn't really do any kind of jumping over rails or anything like that with him.
Well, good, because it would have you would have ended badly. Let me just tell you that this horse is the most non-talented jumper ever. And I'm sure that the landscapers loved you guys going up and down their flower boxes out of practice.
Well, we tried to be as gentle as we could, but I have to admit sometimes we'd leave a hoof print in the grass once in a while.
Yeah, I'm sure that'd be hard to keep it at a walk. So anything else that I should know about his training, anything I should know about his personality, because, you know, he's still relatively new to us. And
Jamie, did you ask him about the horn dog thing?
No, that's why I was leading into idea. Anything I should know about his personality?
I think he's just an easygoing, you know, he's an easygoing horse. He's, you know, more than willing to try to please you. And we thought he was real special. He just kind of got a real kind look on his face. And I think his nature is the same way. So, he's not going to be winning any races for you, you know, but I think he's going to be a great, great trail horse and, you know, be a nice relaxing ride every time you take him out. So,
well, we just love him to pieces, and he's really fitting in incredibly well, except for one thing. He has fallen in love with a mare, and he was next to her for 10 minutes a week ago, and he's still running the fence line, still screaming her name all the time. And I don't understand. What was your experience with him around mares?
Well, we never had him around any mares. On our department, all we ever had was geldings. And he got along fine with the guys. So I don't know.
Well, he wants to get along fine with the women, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Are we sure he's gelded? Have we double-checked that?
Yeah, really. Yeah, you know, I don't know. He might have been gelded late. I don't know. So unfortunately, we never had any experience with mares. On our department, we did actually try a mare years ago for a short period of time, but it didn't quite work out. So
yeah, I can imagine why. Women can't handle that job. I mean, women horses.
Yeah.
Well, Officer Howard, this has been awesome. I really hope, I know we live pretty far west of Phoenix and out here in Waddell, but I certainly do hope you come out and visit with him. It'd be a pleasure to have you out to see him. I got him all clipped up. His mane is still really nice and long, and his tail is really pretty, and he's clipped, and his little nose is trimmed, and he gets the bubble baths and everything. So I really hope that we've got him up to your expectations, and you can come out and visit him soon.
I would love to. I'd love to do that. I look forward to it.
All right. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us and letting us know a little bit about Nick now Jack. We had to name him Jack because Chad hates the band Nickelback, and he's like, I can't have a horse named after that.
Well, I guess I didn't even know who Nickelback was when we got him. I never heard of the band Nickelback, so I don't know what's worse.
And Chad,
I like humor.
Chad's never heard of Jack Daniels either, I'm sure.
No, I don't know anything about Jack.
Drink of choice for fighter pilots and police officers everywhere.
Yes.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. We'll let you go get to work and keep in touch, please.
All right. Thank you. You guys have a good day.
All right. And I'm going to send Jennifer some more pictures so we can try to get some posted. And this video is just awesome. Just an awesome video of this horse standing underneath fireworks. It is unbelievable. So I'm going to try to work on that while Glenn plays the song.
All right. And our song today, by the way, that was fun, Jamie. Thank you. That was
good. That's it. I know it's like kind of self-serving to talk about my horse, but it's still a police horse. And how cool is it to take a horse that I really knew nothing about and to be able to track down all this information? Any of us would be lucky to hear from people in the past of our horses, good or bad, I think.
Well, I'm going to give a shout out to Ellen, who posted just a couple minutes ago on her Facebook page and says, I just discovered this show. So much fun to listen to on my smartphone. Here I am in Manhattan in New York City listening to these people talking about horses and related issues. And then she goes on to say, getting back to listening, they are going to talk with a policeman who was the previous owner of the horse of the show host. Here in New York City, we have the mounted police for the parks. Many times I'm driving right behind these big, beautiful horses on Fifth Avenue. Nothing fazes them. And it sounds like Jack was one of those that nothing fazed.
Yay! I was so glad. He's been such an awesome trail horse, and he's been so good. I've had little kids on him for trails, so now I know why he's just so good at it.
Don't bring him on a trail ride with a harem of females. That would be bad.
No kidding.
Jennifer, did you our song today is sponsored by FeedXL. Have you gone on to FeedXL? And FeedXL is the website where you can put in the information about your horse and what you feed him, and you can figure out, they basically give you all these reports that tell you whether you're feeding correctly or need more of this or less of that and all of that stuff. Did you get on to do that? Now that we've moved, we have to update our FeedXL. Oops, I think you're on mute, Jennifer. I can't hear you. Oh, we still can't hear you.
Okay, I'm back. Sorry.
There you are. Okay.
Yeah. I had me on mute. I went to FeedXL.com, and I put in a new pasture because the pasture here in Florida is obviously very different than the pasture in Lexington, Kentucky. And I edited his diet to anticipate what I would probably be feeding him down here. And it gave me a little graph and a little chart that tells me whether or not I'm meeting his energy needs, in other words, his calories, which I am. And there he is screaming. He wants to be on the air. And gives me a report on his vitamins and minerals, whether or not I'm meeting or exceeding those, and all kinds of other cool stuff. And it gives it a little graph, and I got it all figured out. And it was great because I could put that in before I even got here so I could transition him. For example, I started feeding him the hay he would be eating down here back at the beginning of April. I got some up there, and I said, well, I'll just start feeding it now. So when he got here, at least the hay wouldn't be different. There would be something that he would be already used to. So it worked out really well, and I can go in there as often as I like and change it and update it, and I could even put in the cost of what I'm buying his feed. For example, I put in how much I pay for his hay, how much I pay for his grain, and I can see what I'm spending on those nutrients. So it's really pretty cool because obviously some nutrients are more expensive than others. You can buy really cheap calories.
Stop right there as the horse husband. So is it going to cost me more to feed the horse down here than up there?
It is going to cost us more because he doesn't have green grass, which is free.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of figured that was going to be.
Nothing, Jennifer, is free about a horse. Somehow you will pay for that green grass, like in buying a muzzle or some vet
That's
bill
true.
You'll have because of the grass. Nothing's free at all.
Yeah, you're right. I will not have to replace two $35 muzzles every year. You're right.
See? Perfect.
FeedXL.com. Check it out for your horse and see if you're feeding your horse correctly. Well, because Beaker arrived before the show, I didn't get a chance to upload a new song, which makes Jamie very happy every time because we have an emergency song that we keep on standby, and it's her favorite song of all time, and I think actually it's a lot of the listeners' favorite songs. So y'all get to hear some Templeton Thompson, Girls and Horses.
Woohoo!
She talks about him, dreams about him, thinks about him all the time. She's got to have him, be lost without him. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? She said, now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were my one safe place. Now that I'm older, still lean on their shoulders. dream about him. I live to love him, and I love to ride. I'll always have him, be lost without him. There's magic in those endless. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? What is it? What is it with girls and horses? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Girls and horses.
Well, that's Templeton Thompson, Girls and Horses. You can find all of Templeton's music, including her new CD, Icy Blue Heart. You can find all of that at templetonthompson.com. And Jamie Templeton's going to be on with us next week. She said one morning next week she's going to come join us. Plus, I didn't get a chance to tell you that Reese Kossler-Stanfield, our Grand Prix dressage rider and our cook who comes on and does recipes with us, is going to join us the first day of our Rolex coverage on Thursday to talk a little bit about the dressage. She said she'd be happy to sit in with us. She'll probably be with us the whole show. So,
Good. Love her.
So we'll have a little bit of an expert on with us that morning and a bunch of other guests as we come up. But you realize it's 2 weeks from today.
14 days till the first horse hits the dressage arena. I love it. Yes, next Wednesday. Woo! Or next Thursday, excuse me. Next Wednesday is when I get there.
I knew you'd be happy about that. I knew you'd be happy. Now, let me just do one thing here. Let's do the Horse Radio Network show highlights for today. We had two shows come out this morning. The Eventing Radio show came out, and it was titled Road to Rolex with Marilyn Little Meredith. Plus, Liz Holliday was on that show. Liz is a regular here at the Horse Radio Network. She's based out of Europe. She's an eventer over in Britain, and she's also a race car driver. She drives formula cars. So she's driven, if anybody knows, that 24-hour race in Le Mans. She's driven that a couple times, and she's also an announcer for the races over there as well. So she's a lot of fun, and she was on the Eventing Radio show this week. The Dressage Radio show had a preview of the FEI Ream Acre World Cup Finals that are coming up, and she had Canadian journalist Karen Robinson on to talk about everything that's going to be going on over there in the Netherlands for the World Cup. So that's all coming up. You can find all of the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Well, we're going to be getting on here with the Chronicle of the Horse in just a minute, but we have time for a few news stories. What's this with Mary King?
Oh, Mary King is so cool. And what's really awesome about Mary King is she's so famous, and she's a horseback rider. And I guess at some point, they decided to do a cookbook, and I'm really sad Mary King is not riding at Rolex this year, because you would think if you got first and second last year, you would go ahead and try to at least repeat, but she is unable to make it over here. She's going to go and do that other event called, whatever, badminton. So there was a charity cookbook that asked her to be a part of it, and what's awesome is that it's a charity cookbook for celebrities to put their own recipes in, and she is in the same cookbook with Dame Judi Dench and Raymond Blanc, and I don't know who Mary Berry is, but I mean, she's so famous over there for being a horseback rider, and she's just such a cool lady. So anyway, she put her recipe in the charity cookbook alongside Dame Judi Dench, and they're called Extra Juicy Flapjacks, and I don't have the recipe, but they're making me hungry even thinking about it.
You know, I ate breakfast this morning, and I'm kind of hungry already, too. So I'm with you on that one.
She says that this is her trusty competition snack. Snack is Extra Juicy Flapjacks. And whatever, Mary King, you're like 85 pounds soaking wet. So
yeah, she is a teeny thing.
Yeah, she really is. So anything, you know.
Now,
what else you got?
Well, I think, you know, I didn't have a whole lot of news this morning. I saw you had it one in here. Did we cover the story about the horse brings the... Go ahead.
I got a cool one. I got a really cool story. There was a horse named Bring It On. Is this what you were just talking about?
Yes.
So this horse named Bring It On, it's a thoroughbred that was turned out in the pasture. And there was a big pond in the pasture, and he goes to walk in to go get a drink. Well, he goes in too far, and the next thing the people see up at the house, they look out the window, and the only thing sticking out of the water is the horse's head, just barely sticking out of the water. He had gone in this pond and, like, gotten mired down in the muck. And they had to call, you know, it's one of those rescue stories that we read all the time, because this horse is stuck in the muck. They had to call the vets and the fire department and the police, and everybody came out, and they were able to successfully pull this horse out of the muck. But I guess he was in such bad shape that the owner, Andy Nichols, thought that he was going to have to put him down. And he said he was utterly exhausted, couldn't stand up. I didn't think he was going to make it, and I thought we'd put him down. But our vet, Edmund Collins, was determined he would survive, and his care enabled him to make a full recovery. Now, he said that he's kept horses for a long time, and there are times when you have to make some tough decisions, and he thought this was going to be one of them. But he said he was glad to be proved wrong. Well, this horse came out of the muck and is a steeplechase horse now, and just did his first point-to-point in England, his very first one, and won the entire thing with his jockey, William Milburn. So not only did they get him out and he survived, he has gone on to win his first point-to-point race at the age of 7. So congratulations to all the people involved with Bring It On, and Andy Nichols and the vet and the whole team that was with him there. Isn't that a great story?
That is a great story. That's a success story right there.
It sure is. It sure is. So are we going to have the Chronicle on, or should I tell you about the most weird experience that I've ever had with a horse?
Jennifer, are you having any luck?
Nope.
Okay, so are we giving up on the Chronicle at this point? They're not there?
I think Megan may have slept in.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, so tell us about this experience that you had.
Okay. So we've been talking about my horses like all week because they're all doing very weird things. And so this, you remember the horse Joe Montana that we adopted from the sheriff's department? Our $50 adoptee has been doing great. He was not even broke, and he's become quite the trusty trail horse. He kind of looks like Beaker. He's a chestnut that has is a star. He looks a lot like his grandfather, Aladar, when Aladar was like 4 months old, because he's 4 years old, but he was so starved that he's very stunted, and he's a weighty little thing. Bless his little heart. He's 15'2", and he's about 12 inches wide at the chest. I mean, he's so tiny, but he's 4, and it was time to get him a job. So, you know, I start the whole thing. I'm in the arena, and we're doing the getting him tacked up, teaching him to lunge, and then teach him to lunge with the saddle on. And it was no problem out there in the arena when I would, you know, I'd put the saddle on and send him out and let him come back and then send him out. And he never offered to buck. Never offered to do anything bad. He was such a good boy. I mean, you could tell his attitude is like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Oh, okay, that's not so bad. You know, like, that's his attitude about everything. And he's so much fun to work with, except for one thing. And I cannot figure out what to do, and I really need the listeners' help on this one. You guys helped me with the fly predators. I ordered them. They're on their way. I'm excited. Then the whole trailer thing yesterday, you guys all really helped me with. So here is the deal. Joe Montana will be standing in, like, the first time I noticed it, he was standing in the cross ties. And at this point, I've had him in the arena, and I've tacked him up 100 times. By the way, apparently when they was in jail, they decided to I didn't know this till later, but they put a saddle on him and basically send him in the round pen and, like, to let him get his bucks out or whatever. They were going to try to get him broke. Well, that was all that happened, was him getting the saddle on one time. So back to him being in the cross ties. I, you know, show him the pad. I do the, go through the whole deal and put the saddle on him. And I tighten the girth, but as it is with every horse, I only put it on, like, the lowest hole just to let them feel it, especially with a green horse. Well, I put the saddle on, low hole. A couple minutes later, I tighten it up one hole. So it's barely tight. He stands there, and he stands there, and he stands there. And then, kaboom, he just explodes, jumps forward, breaks the cross ties, and then stands there. Like, he just had this, like, panic attack. Well, like, great. Okay, he broke the cross ties. Maybe he doesn't cross tie. So the next time I go to tack him up, I just tie him with, like, a hitching post. Because we're in Arizona. Why wouldn't you have a hitching post at your house?
You have to. I think it's required.
I think so. It's like part of the actual structure of the home. So we have a hitching post, and I tie him to the hitching post, and I put the saddle on. It's very light, easy, no big deal. And kaboom! He explodes, jumps backwards, breaks his halter, and I'm like, son of a gun, he has got to tie. Then I realized, like, every single time I put the saddle on, and it's just even just barely on, he explodes. To the point of, like, okay, he is so cinchy or girthy or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. I can brush him underneath his belly. I can rub him all underneath there. He's totally fine with me touching it. There's nothing wrong with his back. There's nothing underneath his belly. He just has some, like, mental problem with putting the girth on.
Can I use another Arizona statement? Are you sure there isn't a burr in his saddle?
Yeah, well, I've actually tried now three different saddles and different saddle pads every time. And I've actually started riding him on these trail rides. I'll take some kids on trail rides around the neighborhood and stuff. So I've been putting a Western saddle on him. And thank God I had the Western saddle on. I've got one of those, like, you know, lightweight synthetic Western saddles. So I put that on him yesterday. And what I've learned is that if I stand there, this is so ridiculous to do, too, is that I have to stand there and I put him on a lead rope, and I tighten the girth one hole, and then I lunge him in a circle around me. Just at a walk, and he just walks around, and then I can tighten the girth again, and then I have to get him in a circle going around me, going around me, going around me. And that's been working just fine. I'll even, like, back him up and then send him forward. As long as he moves around with the girth, then he's fine. But it's the standing there with the tighten, he just freaks out. Well, yesterday, I put my little synthetic saddle on him, and I thought I was doing the right thing. I go to back him up and go to lunge him around, and he does, like, one of those, in yoga it would be called a downward dog, or like a cat stretch, where their feet are out in front of them, and they drop, like, they stretch down to where, like, their chest almost touches the ground. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep, yep, yeah.
Okay, so butt up in the air, and I'm like, what are you doing? And I just put the girth on. I just gotten it tight enough, you know, to where it's not going to fall off.
He was doing his own leg stretch.
Yeah. But then he didn't stop. And I'm like, I'm pulling him. I'm like, get up, get up, get up. Come up here. Then he flops over on his side like he's dead. Lays down on the ground.
This isn't funny, but it's funny. Okay.
Not sternal. We're talking flat out on the ground like he has just been shot. His head is, like, his left side of his face is touching the ground. He is stretched flat out. And I'm holding the lead rope like, what are you doing? I have never had a horse lay down with the saddle on ever in my entire life. And he's laying there on the ground. And I'm like, get up. Get up. What are you doing? I go to pull him. I go behind him. I try to push him. Nothing. We're talking, like, he laid down for probably 3 minutes. While I'm trying the whole time to get him, you know, I'm pushing him, I'm kicking him in the butt, like, get up, nothing, dead. And he's staring at me the whole time, no matter where I went. His little eyeball rolled back in his head, rolled forward in his head. Wherever I was, he was watching me. I am not kidding you. I had to climb on top of the horse that is laying flat out, reach over from his back to his side, and he had laid down on the side that tied with the Western girth, and I had to reach down over this, like, passed out horse, undo the girth. The second I undid the girth, he hopped up. Like, what's up? How's it going? What happened? Where am I? Like,
huh.
bizarre. Why is the horse doing this? What is wrong with him? What is the deal? I have been so good and calm and patient with him and taken forever
to put
the horse on.
You haven't noticed any sore spots or any spots that, you know, he doesn't seem to like you pressing on or?
Nothing. Nothing. So am I going to have to pay the stinking acupuncturist to come out here and figure out what's wrong with him? Or is it a vet problem? Is it, what is going on? What is wrong with this horse? That they're, like, physically, we need to get Dr. Wendy Ying on the phone. Because at least ask her about this, because I don't know what the heck to do. And then, you know what? I rode him, and he was fine. Like, after he had a little hissy fit, laid down on the ground, passed out, got up, and we rode for about an hour and a half through the neighborhood. It was great. What is wrong with this horse?
Well, I got to tell you that we got a comment already from Aubrey. We can always count on your sister Aubrey to chime in. She said, Jamie, we had a mare that did the same thing. She even fell over once, too. I've heard sometimes that they have a more sensitive nerve under their chest that causes an almost narcoleptic response. She had started with the bolting as well. We did just what you were doing, let her move and girth up slowly. She eventually just got over it.
Huh.
Jennifer, we have never – have you ever had one that did that?
I've never had the same horse have both behaviors. He's really stacking things up on you.
Thanks.
I've had a horse that did one and I had a horse that did the other, but they didn't do both.
You know, and I thought, well, he's a wafy little redheaded thoroughbred. You know, he's going to be sensitive. And that's my old thoroughbred was a chestnut, and he was very girthy. And you had to just do it really slow. And he would do the, like, jump up in the air, like, freak out if he tightened it too quickly. So I was expecting that. I never expect a horse to lay out, just flat out hit the dirt. I mean, sideways out. And I'm thinking,
because these before the ride.
Seriously, well, people, there's a road right next to where I tack the horses up, and people always drive by and they always honk and they wave and whatever. And I'm like, hey, and I'm thinking, somebody's going to think I killed my horse. They're going to drive by and they're going to call the sheriff's department because there's a horse dead on the ground with a saddle on.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was really funny. I was so freaked out. And I have like 2 6-year-olds that are on their way over. And I'm like, get up! Like, these children cannot see laying on the ground. They're going to fire me as their instructor. Like, oh, she beats her horses till they, like, submit.
Boy, I tell you what, that is an unusual one. You don't see that too often. Not with the saddle on and everything, especially in the grooming area.
I know. I called my trainer, Barb Crabo, who I take lessons with, and she suggested that I treat him for ulcers. And then, you know, I think maybe acupuncture. And so all of a sudden, my $50 horse is turning into a several $100 acupuncture visit and then about $400 in ulcer treatment and all this. I'm like,
you know what, though? I don't know if I'm buying. I don't know what Jennifer feels about this. I don't know if I'm buying the ulcers thing. I don't know if I'm buying that. But, you know, that's something everybody says, all horses have ulcers. I don't know. I don't know if I'm buying that as the reason here. And the other thing, too, is you get a vet out for this kind of problem, and you know what it's like when you get a vet out for this kind of problem. It's like, well, it could be this or it could be that. And then they're never sure.
Oh, no. And then they're like, let's run some tests. Let's take blood work. Let's do this. Let's do that. Oh, I
you know what that really
MRI.
Means in vet speak? In vet speak, let's run some tests really means let's refinance a new piece of machinery.
Yeah, I got a boat payment due. That's what that means.
Yeah. Let's run some tests. Oh, cha-ching. That's like if you hear let's run some tests, they say it, and in their head they hear cha-ching.
Exactly. And you know with a problem like this, it's going to be many visits. And if you're lucky, you're going to figure out what it is at the end.
Yeah, maybe. And then they're going to go, well, and it's like Aubrey. Well, he just kind of grew out of it $3,000
exactly.
later. Well, he kind of grew out of it.
True. That is true. Yeah. Dad, now, is this the first time he's ever laid down like that?
Yes. It was yesterday. It was like yesterday to 5:30 p.m., 4:30 p.m. I'm like, it was just so bizarre. He has never done that ever. I mean, even the little camel stretch thing that he did, he has never done before, ever. I'm afraid to tack him up today, but he has to get ridden because he's in training and he gets ridden. You know, when they're young like that, they need to be ridden every day to keep some sort of consistency. And I don't know, should I just start riding him bareback? I mean, he's such a tiny little thing. I think I'm.
Do you have elastic on both ends of your girth?
I'm gonna now because heck, I might have to pull it off of him.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just glad I didn't use my Southern Star saddle on him. Oh, God, if he laid down in my...
I was going to ask you which saddle he trashed. Aubrey's typing in, too. I'm with Glenn. Doubt it's ulcers, though. It never hurts to treat for them other than the dollars. There also is narcolepsy in horses. Don't know how to treat it, though. So did he just fall asleep on you sometimes?
No, he didn't fall asleep. That's what was weird. If he was narcoleptic, I don't think he would have followed me with his eyes. Like his right eye that was in the air, no matter where.
Are we sure he's just not having an attitude problem and going, screw you, Mom, I'm not doing this today?
No, I'm not sure of that at all. He could actually be like, screw you, Mom, I'm going to have a hissy fit and a temper tantrum. I'm just going to lay down.
That's right. I lay down, you can't ride me, and I don't like you, I hate you. So, I mean, it could be as simple as that. Send him to his room.
That's it. Go to your room. You're not.
No, you know what? My mom's favorite was kneeling in the corner. Go make him kneel in the corner.
Your mom made you kneel in the corner?
Oh, that was her favorite one when we'd fight. I grew up with four boys. There were four boys in the house. And when we'd fight or carry on, she'd make us each kneel in a different corner. And if we turned around and stuck our tongue out at our brothers or whatever, then you'd have to kneel longer. So it used to be like you'd have to kneel for 15 minutes in the corner, but if you turned around at all and you made faces at your brother, you said a word, then it was an extra 15 minutes.
No wonder you don't have kids. My God, you were tortured. Were you raised Catholic?
Yes, actually.
Oh, that's the worst. Don't kneel in the corner, sinner.
We always joked that it was just practice for church on Sunday.
That's really funny. Oh, that sucks. But you know what? She had four boys. She had to do what she could.
My oldest brother made us so mad because in shop class, I don't even think they have shop class anymore, but in shop class, that one of the options they could make was a paddle. And, one with the fancy rounded edges and the holes in it so it would swing easier. And he made the frickin' paddle. That paddle stayed on the top of the refrigerator my entire life growing up. And I can remember one time it was used on me. But anyway, I was so mad at my brother. I'm still mad at him about that. 25 years, 30 years later.
Wow. Yeah, it's like, here, I'm going to make you a tool to beat me with. Here you go. Let me hand
and, of course,
over.
It had to be the oldest brother who does that, going, well, I'm getting older. I'm not going to get the paddle. But they are.
No kidding. I'm trying to think of, I know my mom's listening to the show right now. I think my mom's corporal punishment was guilt. And she still does it to this day. Like, oh, poor me. The back of the hand to the forehead. Oh, this is, my heart is breaking right now. You broke my heart. You just broke your mother's heart. How do you feel about that? You're like, oh, God, I'm so sorry. I'm the worst daughter ever. Oh, poor me. Poor me. But yeah, the guilt thing. That was what we used. No corporal punishment.
So you never had to kneel in the corner? I always thought everybody had to kneel in the corner.
No. Nobody kneels in the corner. I've never heard of that ever. Your mom was brilliant. She was a pioneer of corporal punishment.
Yeah, I don't know where she came up with that one, but it worked because your knees hurt after a while.
Facebook question. Let's ask on Facebook. How did Glenn's mother made him kneel in the corner? How did your parents punish you?
Yeah,
and it's not horse related, but I just want to know because I think I'm trying to think maybe I was just perfect, Glenn. And
that's it. I'm sure that was it. Yeah, yeah.
And
a few mornings here where I wanted to have you go kneel in the corner.
Don't kneel in the corner for saying that, Glenn.
Let's wrap this show up. We have a horse to go visit. Hey, I won't be here tomorrow.
Well, I am going to be here. And you know, real quick, too, if anybody has an email, that a question that they'd like to ask of Daniel Stewart, please go ahead and email it to me or post it on Facebook. Maybe we can also post that on Facebook later. Do you have a question for Daniel Stewart? Because he's going to be my co-host tomorrow. He's actually coming to Arizona, and he's doing a clinic here. And I'm super excited to have him, you know, like got rid of Glenn for a day. And we're going to have, like, the pro on, Daniel Stewart, and going to talk to him about, you know, he'll psychoanalyze me, and he tells me the greatest ways to deal with competition. So if you have competition nerves, he can help you figure out different ways to get through that. He's just a fascinating guy. So please tune in tomorrow. Jamie and Glenn is gone, and we've got Daniel Stewart.
I'll be back on Monday. You can't get rid of me that easily.
Yeah, you sure? Because I could always have Alan co-host on Monday.
Oh, you want me to bug out on Monday? I'll take a long weekend if you want to have Alan co-host with you. That's fine.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Careful what you ask for.
Everybody, please have a wonderful day. Thank you to Chad Howard for coming on and telling me about Jack Daniels, the former police horse. It is true. He is a police horse through and through, and I'm very excited that he was able to give us a little bit of insight. I didn't ask him if he'd ever shot and killed anybody from the back of the horse. I think he probably wouldn't tell me about that if he did.
No,
so
I don't
quit.
Think that was wise not to ask. I think my question was a little subtler than that, yeah.
Who'd you kill?
On that note,
spay, neuter, and kill people.
Have a good show tomorrow, Jamie. I'll see everybody on Monday.